You know I'm a faggot. That much is true. Well, I'm just a faggot on my knees for you.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Hierarchy Podcast, a production of the website fagsworshipalphas.com. I'm Sam, the faggot. And today, I've got a special interview that I've done with Master Arch. Now, many of you might remember my first interview with Master Arch. I know you do because I get constant requests from faggots all the time about Master Arch. So I know that there's a bunch of you out there that are interested in hearing more from him. We had a specific thing we wanted to talk about, that was on his mind particularly. So we kind of hashed it out on this podcast interview. And it revolves around PC culture's war against hierarchical norms, okay? The war against the alpha fag dynamic, the war against the use of the word faggot or any kinds of terminology or suggestions of inequality, things like that. Both he and I, even though we're very different, he's a straight professional dom and I'm a faggot. I don't know if I mentioned that or not, but I'm actually a faggot. So, but we both come up against this, you know, his professional career is endangered, and of course this website has been attacked multiple times. So we talked about this and it made for an engaging in conversation. So, and I think an important one. So this is my second interview with Master Arch.
Target acquired.
This is the Hierarchy Podcast exclusive interview.
Okay, I'm here with Master Arch. I know many of you remember my conversation with Master Arch. Gosh, it's been months and months and months ago. You were one of my very first interviews, Master Arch. And I know that faggots continue to ask me about you. So must have resonated with some of them out there. Say hi to the audience.
What's going on? I'm kind of a big deal, so, you know. Yeah. What can I say?
I mean, that's a burden that all alphas must bear, I guess. So,
The comments on the last podcast. It just kept going up and up and up and up, and I'm just like, damn. I got a lot of people that fucking know who I am all of a sudden. Yeah. That's okay. That's the life of a god.
Right. Yeah. Well, straight alphas, they register higher on the fagometer, you know, so.
Right. You notice there was no straight guys. They're like, I know that dude. He's fucking all
right. Yeah. Right. So, Master Arch, we've talked a little bit about things that have changed with you in terms of the BDSM community. Why don't you explain maybe the issue that you're facing right now?
So the situation is basically that on FetLife and a lot of the heteronormative fetish sites, I'll just say heteronormative because on the gay sites, I can't speak for that. I don't know how they do things. I don't know what the community is like internally on those
sites. It's the exact same.
Okay. So on the heteronormative sites, are you familiar at all with FetLife?
Yeah.
Okay. So I consider FetLife like the Talmud of fetish and BDSM. There's the Torah, which is the main books, main principles. And the Talmud is like every question or every, you know, that a rabbi would ask or a person would ask, like, why do we do this? and it's explained to the nth degree
It's like the Cliff Notes version of that.
Right, right. The Cliff Notes version is a good way to put it too. So amongst a large part of this heteronormative community, people are saying that the word alpha and the word beta, those don't exist. Those aren't a thing. That's not a thing. And it also indicates that one, the alpha, is greater than and more of a contribution than the beta. So by dismantling this principle, because the need for dismantling of unequal power balances between people that think they're superior and people that think they're inferior, that this model contributes 100% to toxic masculinity and incel culture. And that all the guys that can't get girls, all the guys that complain that, you know, and shoot up places, right, harm sex workers, do whatever they need to do, they incels. Blame it. Yeah, themselves. Ultimately, yes.
No, incels. It's involuntary celibacy because...
Yes, correct. Correct. But their thinking contributes to the alphas get the girls, I'll always be a beta, I need to fight back. I've been pushed hard enough. I've been pushed long enough. Sorry. But dismantling the alpha-beta hierarchy is just that. It's dismantling everything we stand for, yeah, and everything we believe in that we've seen since the dawn of time, right, in humans, not in animals, in humans.
Well, animals have a hierarchy.
They do, but it's not like, but that's the thing. The betas aren't like inferior whining bitches. They're just people that do the work that the alphas don't want to do.
They do serve the alpha of a pack or whatever. You know, it's not consciously in the way that a beta or a faggot might serve an alpha in human hierarchy, but in animal hierarchy, they do follow the leader. They do.
Right. Again, but the terms that we're using now instead of alpha and beta are leader and subordinate. And just as important as the leader delegating the responsibilities and taking the jobs that the subordinates can't, the subordinates are doing the grunt work, the subordinates are doing the building work, the subordinates are doing just as effective, just as valuable. There's no inferior, superior dynamic going on. It's just two natural places.
Well,
so...
Okay, well, I mean, so how has that affected you in your, because you are a professional dom, so how has it affected you?
As someone that identifies as somewhat alpha.
Somewhat.
Having people call me to the table for that has been, it's always been a thing. I've had people that had a problem with me non-sexually doing BDSM with men at men's events in Portland. People have had a problem with me doing financial domination before financial domination was a thing. Like, I have used my ability in the hierarchy to get me where I am today, 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
Owning it, mm-hmm, owning it more than a business executive would, more than a, you know, any high paid power job would be, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when I see new doms or new masters come on the scene, like, I'm so highly skeptical, or new alphas even, where it's just like, what are you going to lead the world to do? What are you going to, how are you going to change FinDom? How are you going to change BDSM? How are you going to, you know, be a contribution to this world and make a mark on this world with what you believe in? You know, how can you enlighten the world and not sound like a homophobe?
Right.
How can you be taken seriously enough that the word faggot can be used and people aren't like pearl clutching? And you can just say it because they know the difference and they've been explained the difference between a gay man and a faggot, you right. know?
Right. Yeah, it's, I mean, I've only touched on it with you in our past conversation, but I've come up against, my site has come up against a hellacious blowback in a lot of respects. I've been legendary for being banned and multiple times on multiple social media outlets because of the site's message about hierarchy. The site has been attacked a couple of times by hackers. I've had one extortion attempt during one of those hacks. I've received death threats.
Do you know the analytics? Do you know where it's coming from more than any other place? Like, do you have statistics on?
I did not get that information. One time the site was almost lost completely, but fortunately I have a very good hosting company that protects me.
That's great.
And so, but people wonder why I keep my identity hidden for the most part. It's not about shame about being a faggot or anything like that. It's just, I don't want to get killed. I don't want
my personal life
to be compromised. So, or my banking information or anything else for that matter. But I have definitely experienced a lot of blowback because of my, it's somehow controversial, but here's the thing. They have not stopped me in my message in any way, shape, or form. I'm standing against the winds that come against me. The site remains stronger than ever despite all of this and continues to grow. And here's the other thing that I view both you and I, and we're kind of opposite ends of the same coin, you know, the opposite sides of the same coin, hierarchy is real. It's not a fetish, although it encompasses fetishes, but ultimately...
Well, I think fetish rears its head when you start bringing in the superior, inferior, you know, dynamics.
But it's not a fetish.
No, it gives a safe landing space for it. It gives one an opportunity, if one has a superiority complex, to reach a broad market of people that may or may not match that with an inferiority complex.
Yeah, sure. I mean, but what I'm getting at, though, is that...
But that's what hetero people have. We don't have leather bars. We don't have leather culture. Like, we're heteronormative. It's stupid. Well, the gay people have way more ways to advertise that they're kinky and down for whatever than the hetero people do.
Well, okay, that's probably true, but...
Well, come take advantage of me. Women don't put that out there.
Right. Well, some do.
Marry that one. You find her, you marry that one right there.
I'm not going to marry them.
I'm saying, to the guys that might be listening, if you find a woman that does everything a fucking faggot can, you marry that fucking girl.
Well, okay. There's no woman like that on Earth. Unless they're getting paid for it in porn. But,
right.
Okay, that's now I get what you're saying. But here's the thing. Hierarchy is real, and it's not ever going to go away, no matter how the PC culture elite or whatever you want to call them, douchebags, no matter how they couch it in pretty language or safe space language, you know, comfort blanket language. There isn't any way to deny what's actually happening between people.
Right.
And it's always been this way, and it's always going to be this way.
Well, and I think that here's the thing, Sam, like separating and giving people the clear message, and maybe it's never been said on your podcast before, and I'll say it right now. Hierarchy does not mean hate. This is not hate speech. This is not white supremacy. This is not charged by anything other than a natural feeling that two men have between each other. That's it. That's it. Hierarchy does not mean hate. And I think that when
in a basic sense, it doesn't. Now, there is an element of hate in some parts of the hierarchical arrangement. Like, there are alpha males out there that are using faggots, and they're hateful toward those faggots, and they're using them and abusing them for their thrills, out of their hatred, or they're taking the faggots' money out of hatred.
And you know what? Let people do what people are going to do in other expressions of this. I'm speaking for me. Yeah. For Master Arts believes this. This is what I mean. Like, we can fetishize a hateful relationship. We can, you know, I can act, you know, like whatever needs to be done, because I'm a multi-faceted, multi-personality sex worker that can provide experiences like that.
Right. Well, but, what I'm getting at, though, is that in and of itself, hierarchy is not hateful. When an alpha, within the confines of hierarchy, when an alpha calls another male a faggot, he's simply referring to the faggot as its inferior state, as what it is. And the faggot acknowledges that in itself, and it recognizes that truth in itself. So it's just speaking truth.
Well, correct, but I think that also there has to be a natural superiority complex and a natural inferiority complex for those two to complete that difference.
Well, of course. I mean, that goes without saying. But the word natural
– no other opportunities for that.
No, I disagree. I see hierarchy in business relationships, in – every facet of human society.
Yes, I agree with that. What I'm saying is the implied power dynamic of superior, inferior. There is hierarchy everywhere. But when you put a power differential in that, that's when it gets sticky.
But the power differential comes naturally. I mean... inferior males and beta males naturally submit to alpha males. It's not anything that's forced.
But I think that greed, I think that ego, I think that all those things can be put out there in the hopes that somebody will want to be taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that's going on here. Like, we're saying, I'm greedy. Pay me. Mm-hmm. I'm selfish. I don't care about your needs. You know, like, you're saying these things and these people are just, oh, tell me more. Tell me more. Tell me more. And it just, you know, those are the hot button triggers. But if you don't clear with the other person that you're going to take that person there and do that, you know, if you don't show them your intent with that, that's fucking with someone's head unintentionally. That's not ethical. That's where laws are broken, you know. Well, that's
okay, but here's the thing, and this is where I get in trouble a lot, is that I don't think that ethics and human ideas about what is right and wrong necessarily applies to true hierarchy, because it's like saying that a lion shouldn't eat an elk because the gazelle doesn't want to be eaten. I mean, it's simply not natural.
Correct. I agree with that 100%, but I think we live in a society now more than ever that needs to be told what the intent is before any type of message is delivered. And if that means the views expressed of this website and this podcast do not necessarily reflect that, you know, owning what you believe in and standing by that and say that it doesn't belong to your sponsors, it doesn't belong to each individual guest, that this is solely your point of view. And that we all have discussions around this point of view. It doesn't make us homophobes. It doesn't make us racists. It doesn't make us misogynists. It doesn't make us any of those things that when you walk down the street and say the word faggot, what people think and what people will think. You can't help that. But what you can do is inform them. So.
Right.
It doesn't have the sting. It doesn't have the, you know.
Well, that's why my site stands the way it does against that, you know.
Right. And I think it comes back to that, you know.
I mean, that's why I've always kind of maintained that even though my site does have hot stuff on it, it's got hot porn on it and whatever, ultimately, I view it as a teaching tool. I view it as an informational site. I do want to teach people the truth about hierarchy so that, A, they're not scared about it, because I know that faggots in particular become very scared when they discover that they are this person, this faggot.
Yeah.
They're scared. They want to know what they're supposed to do or to expect or whatever. And you know, and same with alphas. They come to me not sure what they're supposed to do. They've discovered this about themselves. And so, and the reason why I get so many faggots and alphas who come to me saying, I didn't know this was out here. I didn't know what was happening. I couldn't explain these things that were happening in my life. And now I've come to your website. Now I understand it. The reason why I get those reactions all the time is because it's real.
Right.
These are real feelings that people are having and they don't know what to do with it.
It's almost the equivalent of me being told when I meet psychiatric professionals out in the wild and I tell them about what I do. They say to me, you know, you must be really providing a wonderful service to the gay community for doing what you do. Mm-hmm. There must be a real need for you to do what you do if you have been making money at it this long. So thank you. Thank you for, you know, providing that avenue for people.
Right.
And that's why I do what I do. That's exactly why I do it, because I love impacting people's lives. I love leaving an imprint on their soul that no dick will ever satisfy. Like it just that imprint, you know.
Yeah. Although you're making money at it and I'm not really making money on my side. But the thing is, we're both impacting people.
Do you know how many people I have to talk to for free before I hit one that's going to pay me something for what I'm doing with them?
No, that's probably true.
And really, how many people I have to talk to that give me the reason of why I charge for it? Like, first meeting, I'm just like, this person has to fucking pay me because there's no way that anyone wants to be with this human being that isn't going to be paying for it. Like, it just, see a sex worker. You're insufferable. You are miserable. You're just a ball of negativity. Fuck you, pay me. You know? It's just, if I'm going to have to put up with that, that's what it's going to take. And it just, I don't know what kind of ego you're working with that you think you're something special here. There's a reason you're single. There's a reason you've been outcasted. And there's a reason you're at my feet right now. Mm-hmm. So let's just cut the bullshit and do what we need to do, you know?
Right.
Because I'm providing a service. At the end of the day, that's what I'm doing. I'm a sex worker providing a service as well. you know, if this is how my income is made.
Right. But my thing is that anybody like you and I think we see hierarchy the exact same way. Mm-hmm. Of course, you're coming at it from the straight alpha male perspective, and I'm coming at it from the faggot perspective. But the thing is, we can agree on the structure of hierarchy. I've said this multiple times on the website, and I've said it to you. I consider a hierarchy to be the first law mm-hmm. of human society, of, you know, the natural world, in a sense. And to deny it, or to try to suppress it in some way, it's impossible to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's only going to lead to disaster. It's only going to lead to people being repressed within themselves or even maybe ashamed of themselves.
Right. I was just going to say shame is going to get locked in there. And right. Once you compartmentalize something and try to squash it down, it's only going to have one place to go, and that's out the sides.
Right, right, right. I mean, yeah. I remember, you know, when I was a young boy, my mom was advising me to not masturbate because God was watching, and that, you know, I needed to sleep on my back and, you know, not wear tight fitting underwear and things like that, because I shouldn't stimulate my genitals, you know, because God's gonna kill me if I masturbate. And and all that did was it made me scared first of all, but then, like, once I started doing it, then I was like insatiable about it. Okay. And like, when you hold a spring too tightly,
right, and
when you let go quickly, it all just, it boings out, you know? Yep. And so you can't do that with people's emotions and the core of their being. You can't, right. you can't lock it away and make it shameful. This is the problem,
right? Or pray it away, or right. any other,
or right. put PC monikers on it, or poo-poo people's natural inclination. It's disastrous for people.
Well, and if I have to believe and subscribe to the fact that gender is a spectrum, that why this can't be a spectrum either, you know, like. Why is this not allowed and this is? Like, that's a question that I've been asking, and nobody's been able to give me answers, because it just, I think, again, the word faggot really rubs people the wrong way.
I think it's a very powerful word, but I think it's necessary
from
word.
A non-gay man, especially coming from a straight man.
Right, you know?
Like, again, I get labeled as a homophobe. I get labeled as a racist. I get labeled as a white supremacist. The moment I use that word, people just think all of that. And I can't go back and be like, no, you don't understand, I'm an alpha. Like, it just, I can't do that. Right. I keep to myself a lot.
The word faggot is a very powerful word. And it's a necessary word, you know?
Correct. I think that
they recognize that word just inherently inside their mind and heart, and they accept it, you know.
Well, it's an identity. It's an identity. Some grow up to be gay men, some grow up to be faggots. Like, it's a hierarchy. You can't help where you fall into this. Right. When you realize it and you actualize it and you give in to it, that's when it feels the best. And that can be done at a BDSM party. That can be done on the subway. That can be done anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere. You know? Right.
But this idea that you can codify it and prettify it and whatever, it just cannot be done. And so ultimately, it's going to be a failure.
Well,
but the damage it could be doing a damage to generations of people, unless we fight back against it, which is what
again, this is a heteronormative narrative. These are heterosexual people fighting for gay rights. Mm-hmm. Like, stay in your lane. Like, focus on the Me Too movement. Focus on something that, like, actually affects us. Like, don't even worry about what's going on over here. Like, let the gay people own this. Let the gay people keep this, you know? And if it makes you uncomfortable, check your fucking privilege. Check where you come from and what the word faggot means to you, you know? Because that's ultimately where the conversation has to go before any other thing can be said.
Right. Well, I mean, there's a lot of gay people that that resist the word faggot, mm-hmm. and resist the idea of hierarchy. And a lot of those people are the ones that turn around and reported me on social media outlets and got me banned. Because
do you want to know what the analytics that I have in all my years of doing this, a statistic that I have?
What?
Every faggot I've met was anti-gay culture, had been somehow shunned and somehow told they weren't gay enough, they weren't thin enough, they weren't whatever enough.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why they became faggots, was because they were so anti-gay that they wanted nothing to do with the gay normative world out there.
Well, they didn't become faggots. They just are faggots. They just embrace the faggots.
I don't mean it in the way become faggot. I just mean becoming it in the way that, yes, they embrace that personality to be that.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, like, you can be that on the inside and live a normal life, whatever the fuck, you know. But, like, again, being a faggot in the gay world, you would have way more experience with what that does and what presents itself as. I'm speaking from a heteronormative narrative here.
Right. I mean, sure. I deal with it a lot on the website, and I, you know, even behind the scenes, not everything that I'm talking to people about ends up on the website. So there's lots of background conversations I have, and so there's a lot of faggots who don't. They don't, because they are this whole let's whitewash all of human history of this stain of people people calling some gay guys faggots or whatever black. This whole or enslaving faggots in some cases, like, let's whitewash all this. A lot of the faggots that I talk to feel ashamed of themselves because they're being told that they're dirty or wrong. And
and that's the thing, because of the society we live in. Again, the word slave is so charged.
Now, for sure,
right. So it just finding an identity is even harder when you have to deal with the shame of people saying that we're not even acknowledging this happened in our world. We're paying retribution to these people because we fucked up, you know? That's the same culture I'm dealing with on this, you know?
I mean, for sure. I
can't fight it because I'm a racist, I'm a misogynist, I'm a homophobe. Like, I just got to
keep to myself.
Right. Right. Being a straight cis male is not what it used to be. And I didn't ask for that. I didn't, you know, but I've taken it on. And by putting myself in situations where I introduce myself as a straight cisgendered alpha male without hesitation, without cringe, without whatever, like, again, I'll use my words and tell you what this means to me. Just give me the opportunity to speak for that. And maybe you'll agree. Maybe you won't agree. But at least you'll have an understanding of where I'm coming from.
Right.
And my message, if you're somehow drawn to my beautiful blue eyes or that giant ring in my nose, you want to hear what I have to say. I guarantee it. Yeah. I guarantee it, because it'll make your life better. It'll make your step lighter, knowing that you know that you hold a power in one of those categories, you know, the yin and the yang, the light and the dark. your contribution is just as important as mine is.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely a problem. My tack has just been this. Like, I continue to push against that. My intention all along has been to help people to understand that faggots are a natural outcropping of hierarchy, and that they should be accepted as a part of male hierarchy. Right. And also slaves are part of that. I mean, I consider faggots essentially be slaves to men, but that's not counting objects, people who want to be objects. But the point is, though, that I want these concepts to be understood as natural, because that's what they are. Faggots have always been around serving men, and they always will be. So
I've got a question for you in the way of definition.
Yeah.
How does male hierarchy differ from patriarchy?
Well, I mean, patriarchy, first of all, involves the family unit, right? So
patriarchy. But who's teaching this stuff? Like, that's what I'm saying. These guys learned this from their fathers. We learn it from the schoolyards, you know, like.
Of course. Yes. I mean, some of the most fascinating true stories that I have published on the site involve alpha males teaching their sons to use faggots.
Exactly. So
it's shocking. If we're going to deny that this stuff exists, then how do you explain those events? Like, it's a natural part of male existence. Okay.
But how is that different than patriarchal toxic thinking? You know, like,
I don't consider patriarchy to be unnatural. I think it is natural. I think women are naturally submissive to men, but you know, in the current situation with our Western society, anyway, like, women are trying to be men. Okay. And, you know, and I'm not, I don't believe it takes anything from away from a woman that she is submissive to her husband or her man, you know. I believe that's a natural position for a woman. Women are naturally submissive to men, but
teaching that principle to a blockhead that's going to then turn that into a rape. I mean, that's a sticky slope, you know.
Well, wait,
if you can somehow intercept that and teach someone about a hierarchical situation, but also teach them that you have to be responsible within the, you know.
Yeah.
And that just because you have this power doesn't mean you need to impose your will on every fucking woman or every fucking gay man you see walking down the street.
Right. That's true.
That's patriarchal entitlement.
Mm-hmm. Well, but see,
dominance, that's not alphaness. That's patriarchal.
But alphas have the ability and oftentimes do impose their will, either in social situations, business situations, or sexual situations, where they'll see a guy that they are pretty sure is a faggot. They'll walk up, you know, I want you to suck my dick now, or whatever. Like, it, you know, or they'll grab them and pull them into a bathroom and use them, or whatever. Like,
but I think that's inherently male. I think that's just part of being a man, because again, there are no women that allow that to do that, to allow us to do that to them. There's no avenue to take someone by force. There's no, like, even the swingers clubs are so consent driven and trying to, like, oh, this isn't a bathhouse. We don't have bathhouse culture here. We get consent. We get no means no. Like, bathhouse culture is completely different. Completely different. And it was the norm for a long, long time. You know, so the old guard of leather, the old guard of gay, like, they have different values than the new guard, the new generation, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. See, like, I know lots of young alphas and young faggots that are just...
Because you can't stop nature. You can't stop
its natural reality. That's the ultimate point that I'm trying to make, is that it's not going to stop. It's not old guard versus new guard. It's just men. This is what men do.
Right.
And it's not limited to gays and leather scenes and shit like that. It's just men.
Those are places that are landing spots for this behavior, that are places where it's socially acceptable to act this way. When you cross this threshold through these doors, it is socially acceptable to act this way.
Okay, but like I know straight alphas who have walked up to faggots at gyms and other places and said, "Come on," and they take them into some place and have them service them. Like it's not limited to anything. It might be socially more acceptable in a bathhouse, but it's basically socially acceptable anywhere that there's an alpha male and a faggot.
But again, we have to use faggots for that because our women are meant to be respected. Our women are meant to be like courted rather than cruised. You know, it's a different normative that I have to deal with being straight than you have to deal with being gay.
True. Yeah.
Again, two sides of the same coin. Mm-hmm. We're talking from two separate places on the same topic, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, ultimately, though, like, to kind of answer your concern is that, like, this kind of thing has to be fought against mm-hmm. as much as possible by people like you and I, where...
I think
we are simply telling the truth. Yeah.
Education is the first step in that fight.
For sure.
100% agree with that statement that education and destigmatization are the keys that we're going to need to win this war.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean,
if it's just a niche marketplace on the internet where, you know, then that's just as cool, too. Again, it gives a landing spot for people that have these feelings to walk through the doors and to feel socially acceptable where they are.
Right.
You know, and that's a really wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yeah.
That's the fact that you give people that avenue. They're not acting out. They're not harming people because they're hearing the normalization of it, the methods behind it, the rationale behind it. You know, you're doing a good thing, too. So it just... Right. That's what I'm talking about. Just this landing spot for acceptance. So,
right. I can't tell you how good it feels whenever straight alpha males hear this podcast or they run across my site just looking around for answers or something. And they contact me. I've had it happen a lot over the course of 6 years now. And like, I love that because that means that this message is reaching into the straight community and helping them to accept the reality of what's going on, you know? And
I'll tell you, as many faggots bought the link from me from my last podcast that I did with you and listened to it. The number of straight alpha males that I just gave it to free within the BDSM community to enlighten them on what I do and how I express myself has been enormous.
Right.
So I do spread the word within the community to people that I see worthy enough to spread that to, you know, not just Bob Bondage Top that ties up his fat wife on Sunday, you know, like
on the Lord's Day.
Hierarchy. Yeah, right. We're talking about hierarchy.
We're two voices. There are other voices out there that are pushing this as well, and I'm grateful for every one of them, because the more we can help people understand that this is not
hate.
It's not a fetish, and it's not hate at all. It's just natural. It's just nature working out what needs to be worked out within the human family or the male family. Okay.
Right. And the maleness of it. The maleness of it is, I think, is the big piece.
Because let's be honest, and this is the truth. Again, people don't like to hear this, but men rule the world. Okay. They always have. They've built the world. They own the world, and they rule the world, and they're probably always going to. And it's just nature in terms of male, female, how each one is built naturally, well, what their desires are. Now, it doesn't take anything away from women, but I'm just saying men rule the world.
And I would just say that in my years alive, I've seen that to be true. I don't know what the future holds. I can't say.
I'm going to tell you that based on centuries and centuries and centuries of human evolution and civilization, that it's going to be true for a very long time. Okay. But the point is though, that male hierarchy then becomes a predominant force in society because it affects men. Mm-hmm. And the men are the ones that are running things. So nature's working out that hierarchy for the betterment, you know, of humankind. Or
right. And I think that the more, again, the more credence you can give to it, the more psychologists you can send to this website, the more professionals you can send to this website, you know, and enlighten them to that. You know, if there was only a LinkedIn, you know, that you could kind of like plug into like high powered executives and therapists to be like, look, start looking into this. And like, we need to have this discussion because that will stop toxic masculinity. That will stop, you know, the toxicness of this.
I was contacted by a clinical psychologist. I did have a conversation with him. A professor, he's a doctor, medical doctor,
who
specializes in male sexuality. And he contacted me. We had a conversation.
Is it Joe Corbett?
No, Elliot Cronenfeld.
Okay. Is it published? Did it get, did you record it?
He didn't want me to record the podcast. He's actually creating a podcast of his own.
Okay.
Dealing with other sexual interests, I guess, but
okay, send me his name and a contact if you have it, because I'd like to speak to him as well.
I really do need to sit down and write that post based on our conversation, which was a very fascinating conversation.
That would be a real value to this website, I think, that
it was very flattering to have a man of his caliber contact me and want to talk to me. We actually it was a video interview kind of conversation that we had, and he raised some concern about certain posts that I had on the site that he felt could put me in legal trouble, which I'm like, I don't really think that's going to happen, but I did take some of his advice there, but
good. Yeah. That's the last thing you want is legal or government trouble.
Yeah. I really wish that I could have gotten him on the podcast.
No kidding. No kidding. That's such a valuable. It just gives so much more credence to this website and this principle and this way of thought, you know. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I'm like I said, give me his information. I'd really like to speak to him as well.
Yeah. Okay.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. I know. I mean, that's what I'm saying though. Like you and I are people that are pushing this forward, and it's getting noticed by, you know, people like him. So
I'm going to be talking to a psychologist or a psychotherapist this summer, at the end of the summer, in his podcast, another one.
Oh,
not
nice.
This guy, but so I will be talking more about that. And just again, just mostly FinDom and emotional masochism and what we talked about first, but just what in all my years of doing this, what have I seen? What do I notice? What do I, you know, just he's going to pick my brain like a psychologist, not like a podcaster. So
okay.
It's valuable to have these people that are asking these questions and not afraid to ask these questions in the name of science, in the name of, you know, to understand male gender, to understand male studies. Like, that's an enormously underserved field, you know? And I think that
I'm endlessly interested in, you know, the scientific basis for a lot of things that historical basis of it too. And so I'm always trying to publish things that I find that are, you know, like that one article I published about gladiators, you know, that used faggots back in the Roman times. Mm-hmm. And they actually had a specific name, which I can't think about off the top of my head, for these faggots that would serve as gladiators. And, you know, I'm fascinated by, you know, those historical and scientific bases for hierarchy and, you know, why it just, it exists and persists, you know?
Right.
And
well, and it's never a bad thing to ask why.
Exactly.
It's never a bad thing to ask why. And I think that, like, having an interest for me, again, this goes more than money. This goes more than the affection. This goes more than whatever, but the history and the science behind it really, 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 really does it for me.
Right. Right. I mean, ultimately, you know, we're males in, within the hierarchical system. And so you and I have very different experiences in that, but it's the same experience in that we both recognize the framework that exists there and we acknowledge it, you know. It's almost like a religion, a form of religion for me. But like,
and I think too that like we were both, I can say probably we were both, whether consciously or unconsciously, pressured by our ancestors to walk in our ancestors' footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in tune with that, when you're in step with your ancestors, like that's the connection to the universe. That's your highest good, you know?
Although I do think that that's more, alphas have more of that than faggots do. I mean,
correct. But that's why faggots follow alphas, because, or leaders and subordinates, or alpha and beta, whatever it is, like that, again, knowing you're walking in your forefathers' footsteps, fulfilling your destiny, and doing something that 100% presents yourself as the 100% authentic being that you be, period. Mm-hmm. Period. There is no greater feeling.
Yep. I can't even, I not only agree with that completely, but I don't think I could ever say it as perfectly as that. So thank you, Master.
Expected,
for that.
You're a faggot. So that note, I need to make my dinner. So
okay. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for talking about this. It's a topic that I could talk about forever. So I appreciate your perspective, Master. And hopefully we can get some more people to listen to this and
I'm promoting it. I'm promoting it everywhere I go, you know, and
hopefully this podcast will be a tool for you that too as well.
Well, absolutely. That's why I love it. That's why I love having the opportunity to talk on it and, you know, just have a point of view on it that isn't met with sharp tongues and, you know, vilification in their eyes, you know.
Not here, Master, not here.
It's good to be here.
All right. Well, thank you, Master. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
And I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Bye, Master.
End transmission.
Well, I don't know, you know, what came of that. I know that I felt better talking to him about this topic, but of course, you know, changing the world is a big thing to try to do. So I don't know if we are going to be able to accomplish something like that, but we are going to keep fighting, apparently. So hopefully you guys are all on board for the fight ahead, because there needs to be, what it comes down to, like I said in the podcast, I'm not backing down from this, okay? It's just the truth. And I'm not going to back down at all. This site is going to continue to fight against those people who want to restrict expression of truth. So, period. That's how it goes. So, anyway, I thank Master Arch for the conversation. It was a healthy and useful one, and I appreciate it. So hopefully you enjoyed it, and I will talk to you soon, okay? Love ya. Bye!